PBD, here's the kicker. Where do these people get their information? Lower propensity voters get information on TikTok. Mm-hmm. They're not watching CNN. They're not sitting. You know why? These folks are darn tired by the time they get home. They're not turning on cable news. They're watching NFL football games. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are not going to be able to quote to you Marbury. They're not, strategy. By the way.
It's also this.
Yeah, it's also the phone. So what Donald Trump campaign did is they hacked the 2024 election, not in a way that people would think, where they said, wait a second, everyone has a supercomputer in the right-hand pocket. Why are we worried about what CNN is saying or MSNBC is saying? Why don't we win the information war? And then finally, the kicker, they said, why don't we go on the most ambitious, over-the-top, low-propensity voter communication strategy on Theo Von, Joe Rogan, Nelk Boys, you know, Logan Paul, influencer strategies, right? And so what they said is there's this whole reservoir.
Freaking brilliant.
And the final kicker, my mandate at Turning Point was very simple. Charlie, turn Trump supporters into voters. And that's what we did.
Hey, everyone. Rich Lowe just coming to you here with the Midas Touch Network with our Weaving MAGA video series. Got a new testimonial for you today of a lady who was in MAGA like myself, decided to leave. Again, if you're not subscribed to our channel here, make sure you get subscribed. The lady I met, her name is Patty Ann Giles. And the way that we got introduced and acquainted to each other, I put out on my socials, like I always do, hey, we want to give a chance for those who are in MAGA and left to tell their story. So I want to bring Patty Ann in. She is in Virginia. Patty Ann, how you doing?
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, same to you. And in case anyone out there is wondering, we're doing a late night video here. You know, leaving MAGA and Midas Touch. I want to say we don't sleep. We do sleep, but we don't sleep an awful lot. So thank you for being able to join us at a really late hour here. So I want to ask you what it was about the MAGA community that you gravitated to. What was it about MAGA and Trump as a candidate that appealed to you?
Okay, well, I was a Republican for about 35 years until Trump ran. And what I was starting to get disenchanted with the elitism in the Republican Party. I didn't like the way the war on terror was going. I didn't believe it was meeting its goals, its objectives. I was tired of all the corruption with the status quo in government. And I thought that Donald Trump was an outsider. He was anti-war. He had a populist message that really spoke to me. And I thought that I was ready for somebody like him, who had more in common, I think, with what I believe. And I thought that he would be a good businessman. I listened to his old interviews. I thought he sounded very patriotic. And his message, just a populist message, just really spoke to me at the time.
You know, as you're saying this, I have this very eerie, to use the old maxim, deja vu all over again. Because so much of what you said was why that was really my entree into MAGA. You know, I was disillusioned with the two parties. I thought they were the same. Yeah, Trump ran as an outsider, or as a Republican rather, but as an outsider, he didn't have any government, any political, any military experience. And I felt like the entire two-party system needed to be obliterated. And he seemed like a guy willing and able to do that. And for that reason, I thought that he was the right guy at the time for the job. And, you know, the reasons that you're bringing up, Patty Ann, I know for those who are very strongly anti-Trump, anti-MAGA, which I understand. I think one of the misconceptions amongst those who are very anti-MAGA is this sense that everyone supported Trump because of some of his statements about immigrants and about women. I knew that those were indefensible statements, but I also thought that the other side was infinitely worse. So I looked the other way And because I looked the other way, yes, that was part of why I eventually left MAGA, but I just looked at Trump coming in and thinking, you know, this is the kind of person needed for the job at this moment. And I think that there are a lot of people who overlook the fact that there were some anodyne, non-controversial reasons and some valid, good reasons for supporting Trump, right? You know, jobs going overseas, communities hollowed out. Were there some specific issues that were brought up that he mentioned on the campaign that you felt like really resonated with you and made you, really made you someone who said, okay, I'm going to support Trump. I'm all in right now.
Well, the economy was part of it. And I think more so on the issue of taxes. And that's why I'd supported the Republican Party for so many years, is because I believe the Democrats were tax and spend and creating an environment of government dependency. So Trump spoke to me in that respect, that I believed I was going to get a tax cut and that he was going to streamline government and trim a lot of waste and abuse. And that was very important to me.
Do you feel like some of those beliefs within the Republican Party and what was championed, do you feel like some of those have been proven to be inaccurate since? Because I want to read something actually that you posted in November of 2019. And here's what it was, a tweet that you put out there, and your tweet was, "The biggest threat to MAGA is not coming from the left. It's coming from fake Trump supporters who tell you what you want to hear, but don't tell you the whole story. There's a large movement of phony right-wing branders who are getting paid by the globalists to fool you." And again, that sounds like me. You know, I look at that, I read that tweet, and I think that's something I did write. Maybe I didn't use not verbatim, but I made those exact kinds of comments about elitists and about globalists. In fact, mm-hmm. I've always said that is in some cases, perhaps even more than Democrats, we in the MAGA community, we despised anti-Trump Republicans and conservatives. And, you know, one guy, for example, I've gotten to know recently, actually over the last several months, is Adam Kinzinger. And I told Adam after I apologized to him, I said, we hated you in MAGA. And there are others, but we viewed, just like these, as you called them at the time, fake, phony right-wing branders, these were individuals we felt like were actually traitors to the cause. If you weren't with us, you were against us. And if you were 99% with us as a Republican or conservative, you were 0% with us. So that tweet, again, November 2019. So what happened? What were some moments that served as the catalyst for your eventual leaving? And what was that process like for you? Moments, occurrences, how long did it take you to leave? Get into the real specifics here, because I think that this particular part of the story, viewers really want to know, what was it that eventually led you to exit?
Okay, the pandemic was the tipping point for me. I have a medical background. Mm-hmm. And what I was seeing in a nutshell was dangerous disinformation. Not only about the pandemic, but about other issues as well. All started to make sense to me. It all started coming together. I think I've been fooled. So that would have been probably like, I guess, early 2020. And I was seeing a lot of pandemic disinformation being promoted on the right. And that concerned me. And being in the medical field, I was seeing people and knowing of cases, people not getting vaccinated, not wearing masks, not social distancing. And we were losing a couple thousand people a day. These treatments, these unproven treatments like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and all of this, well, people were taking those in lieu of proven treatments. And I was very, very concerned about my fellow Americans. So keeping with the disinformation thing, one thing led to another. And as I started to do more research on the people who were promoting pandemic disinformation, and I'm talking about the political hacks mostly here, I started to realize that I believed things that weren't true in other areas as well.
You know, again, I'm going to reiterate this point and forgive my repeating this, but the pandemic was part of the reason I left also. There were moments within my time in the MAGA community where I was with fellow MAGA Americans, and we did harshly criticize and censure the president privately. And the pandemic management was one of those moments. We knew just how much he was botching leading. You know, even giving some benefit of the doubt that there's no way anyone could have fully controlled what was happening. But to your point, going up and giving medical advice as someone who's not a doctor, shunning people who had medical expertise that had been, who were in the medical and health fields for decades, you're reminding me of another testimonial we had, a lady named Stefania Messina, who also in the healthcare industry, and just like with we, she started to take a closer look and inspect what was happening with the pandemic. So for me, that was also a key moment. And the catalyst for me, I would say, that really accelerated was my leaving of MAGA was really Ron DeSantis, my governor, because I thought that he handled the pandemic pretty well in the first year and a half. And then all of a sudden he's got anti-vaxxers at his press conferences. And he's talking about Fauciism, and he eventually starts talking about biomedical security state. And I never believed COVID was a bioweapon, and I've never been anti-vaccine. So Ron DeSantis, when he did that, it confused me. Mm-hmm. And what I did, and I want to ask you about this point, as soon as my doubts commenced after Ron DeSantis, I diversified my news and information sources. So because I was fully right wing media. I was consuming it. I lived in the comments. I was also writing for it. I have bylines in places like Fox News and The Federalist and some others. Was that the case with you? Were you consuming just right wing media? You were in the echo bubble. You were in the information silo. Talk about that a little bit, because I feel like you mentioned disinformation. I just think that fuels so much of the lies and the mis and disinformation.
Yeah, so that would be like Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, Jack Posobiec, Ian Miles Chung, Charlie Kirk, a lot of material that came from Turning Point USA, a lot of the Fox News reporters, Sarah Carter, I believe was her name, Mike Cernovich, Stefan Molyneux, just any of the pro-Trump influencers I followed.
You know, and I'm thinking about all those names because I also followed many of them. And something that I liberatingly but painfully realized when I made the decision to leave MAGA is that pretty much everything that I believed was a lie. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say that everything, those individuals you mentioned, that everything is a lie, but the vast, vast majority of what they say, they actually don't vet. There was just a United Nations study that just came out. And in that study, it inspected and looked at lots of influencers, and not just on the right, but on the left as well. And yes, while there were some on the left, the vast majority of the ones the UN studied were on the right wing and showed that they don't vet anything that they say. And something else that I came to realize is that when you look at these mythologies that exist within MAGA and the Republican Party, Donald Trump and the Republican politicians, they take their cues from those influencers, from the media. It's not the other way around. It's not that President-elect Trump calls up, for example, Charlie Kirk at Turning Point and says, okay, I want you to say this and this and this at your events. That's not what happens. It's that Trump is getting his talking points from the Charlie Kirks and the Alex Joneses and the Tucker Carlsons. These were, especially a guy like Tucker Carlson, he was massively influential when I was in the MAGA community. And we didn't even like Fox News that much. Even Fox News was regarded as MSNBC or CNN light. Yeah, we thought it was better than those networks, but we weren't that enamored with Fox, but Tucker Carlson we were. So you're in the echo chamber. You're consuming all this media. How did you start to come out of that? What did you do that made you start to question some of your beliefs, and you started to think, okay, is that actually true? I have this workshop I'm developing called Where Did You Hear That? And I'm thinking about, if you were still in MAGA and I met you now, I would ask you, where did you hear that? So how'd you get out of that? Because I feel like part of leaving MAGA is also leaving behind that right wing echo chamber.
Yeah, well, with the pandemic being my impetus to search out better information, I just taught myself to fact check. And I made a conscious effort to leave that right-wing bubble, mind bubble, and to seek out other sources of information. Now, I'm not saying that that left sources are, always right, always correct. But I did try to diversify my content that I was using as information to inform and to fact check. So I just researched some tips on vetting media sources, how to tell if a source is biased. I used Ad Fontes as a guide for media bias. And I just was very careful then about what I allowed myself to believe. I approached media sources and content creators with much more skepticism during and after the pandemic.
Yeah, this is so common in our testimonials we do here at Midas Touch Network for those who leave. And all of us, and it's not hyperbolic to say this, we were consuming essentially the same media. So we all thought alike. We all said the same. I remember in the community, if there was any information that even remotely refuted the pervasively held beliefs and mythologies, we would shun it. It was kept out. Because any media we did not read or watch was considered what I used to call the Democrat media industrial complex. That was a phrase that I actually used. And I believed it at the time, just like you, your beliefs, they were sincerely held until we started to realize, you know what, this actually doesn't sound true because I just read in a different source that it's inaccurate. And that, and this all seems so simple to just say, okay, I'm going to mix up and diversify my news and information sources. But it had a profound and positive impact on my life, and I could tell that it did for you as well. Mm-hmm. So what I want to ask you here in closing is, I left MAGA in August of 2022, and I didn't think anyone would care. That's the God's honest truth. And I spent the next year just telling my story until the idea for leaving MAGA or organization started to congeal. Why do you want to tell your story? What is it that you hope to get out of telling your story? And what is it that you want others to take away from your testimonial here?
Speaking to people who are still in MAGA? Yes. I would like to tell them that they're being deceived. And what they believe and what they support is to the benefit of the very people that they claim to be against, like elitist and the wealthy and white supremacist. I hate to say it, but it seems to be the case that the agenda is extreme, that you have the Christian nationalists trying to superimpose their extreme beliefs on people, racist, sexism. And that's not what I believed the Republican Party stood for. And I didn't believe conservatism stands for that either. So, yeah, I think I would, my message is that they're being deceived, and they need to start really considering how their decisions affect others and not just themselves.
Yeah, I appreciate that you're taking an approach of empathy and education. I don't defend my or anyone's ignorance, but I implore everyone to remember something I say a lot, which is that all of us are susceptible to being influenced. And this idea that intelligent people, people of good character, cannot be deceived and influenced into believing these really traumatic mythologies that kept me in these perpetual states of desperation and panic and despair. And I imagine you experience very similar emotions. And we felt this way being on the winning side. You know, we felt this way because we felt like there were existential threats against us. And so you're telling this story. I just want to thank you, especially as a woman. I think it takes a lot of intrepidity to do what you're doing. It's difficult to tell this story, but I just want to commend you for doing what I believe, like all of our testimonials, is really an invaluable public service. And I appreciate what you're doing. Our viewers are going to appreciate it. I promise that your story is going to resonate with others, and you're going to move. Your story is very moving to people, because those in our country are looking for a reason to believe that their friends and their family who are in the thrall of MAGA can eventually leave and they can restore those relationships. It's why we also do videos here at Midas Touch with friends and family of those who are in MAGA. So I want to personally thank you. I want to thank you on behalf of the team. Where can the public find you? I know that we met originally via Twitter, so thank you for responding to my request and inquiry, but where can people find you out there on Twitter? What's your
thank
handle?
Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. What's your Twitter handle? Because if anyone wants to connect with you.
It's Patty Ann 640.
Okay, we got it. Patty Ann 640. Patty Ann Giles from Virginia, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was a real pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Hey guys, if you like this video, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any updates from the Midas Touch Network and Leaving MAGA here at leavingmaga.org. And if you left MAGA or you're having doubts about your support for Trump, or you've got friends or family who are in MAGA, we want to hear from you. So again, make sure you contact us at leavingmaga.org. As always, really appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for watching.
Love this video? Make sure you stay up to date on the latest breaking news and all things Midas by signing up to the Midas Touch newsletter at MidasTouch.com/newsletter.